Comedians seem to be everywhere at the moment. YouTube Shorts and TikTok are filled with Subway Surfer videos with podcast clips of comedians. And whilst this boom in the comedy space has been great for some, it's also shone a light in some dark spaces, highlighting the other side of these comedians' lives and who these people really are behind the laughs. So in this video, we're going to go over the world's most hated comedians, starting with Amy Schumer. A couple of years ago, Buddy TV, a well-known entertainment website, conducted a survey involving over 1,000 Americans spanning across different generations, from Generation Z to baby boomers. Participants were asked to name comedians they most loved as well as those they really hated. When it came to hated comics, one name was repeated time and time again: Amy Schumer. In fact, many respondents even said they disliked her more than the disgraced comedian Bill Cosby. But the question is, why? Well, about a decade ago, Schumer was one of the hottest names in comedy. She had an HBO comedy special and she starred in the smash hit movie called Trainwreck. Since then, however, her professional career has been, well, a bit of a train wreck, and it's no one's fault but her own. In recent years, Schumer has gone from being a comic who made people laugh to being a virtue-signaling, patronizing celebrity. This is the reason why she's so disliked, and it explains why the fourth season of Inside Amy Schumer received so much criticism. Instead of being funny or creative, Schumer instead chose to use the show to further her politically correct agenda. Audience members were quick to recognize just how disingenuous and unfunny she had become, resulting in a significant decline in viewership from a season debut of 770,000 to only 490,000 by the end of the fourth season. In 2016, during a show in Tampa, Florida, her political commentary led to approximately 200 audience members walking out mid-show. By aligning herself so much with a very specific political ideology, she alienated a considerable portion of her audience. Also, and this is really important to point out, her comedy is just gross.
Look at that face. It's so dark and wrinkly and constantly getting pounded. It's like Patrice's grandmother's asshole after a gospel brunch.
Schumer's jokes predominantly revolve around sex-related humor, especially her own female anatomy, and when she is discussing her private parts, she can be found making derogatory jokes about men. But how long can this go on for? How many years can you keep doing the same jokes over and over? It was this narrow approach to comedy that not only alienated male audiences, but also made female viewers bored and tired of her humor. To compound matters even further, Schumer has been reported to be a joke thief. Now, as I've discussed before, this is one of the worst things you can do in the comedy scene, and Schumer happens to apparently be a serial offender. In 2022, at the Oscars, she took to the stage to make a joke about one of Hollywood's most respected actors, Leonardo DiCaprio.
What can I even say about him? He's done so much to fight climate change and leave behind a cleaner, greener planet for his girlfriends. Because he's older and they're younger. Okay, you get it. Yeah.
Almost immediately, Schumer faced backlash from viewers, who accused her of plagiarizing the joke from a previous tweet. As on December 24, 2021, a Twitter user shared a post on social media, humorously highlighting Leonardo DiCaprio's dedication to climate change by suggesting he wanted to create a better world for his considerably younger girlfriends. But this wasn't Schumer's first time. The 42-year-old has a nasty habit of performing as an opening act for numerous renowned comedians, then stealing their material. For example, she opened for the late great Patrice O'Neill and subsequently stole his joke. O'Neill.
Like you f***ing from behind and then you sneak out and he takes your place and then you walk outside and wave at her through the window.
The worst one I've ever heard is the Houdini, which is where the guy's having sex with the girl from behind. Then unbeknownst to her, his friend subs in for him. Guy number one runs outside, knocks on the window, waves to the girl.
But there's been so many examples of Schumer stealing jokes. Furthermore, she's even lifted content from the aforementioned Inside Amy Schumer from other skit shows like Mad TV. She's gone from being in Joe Rogan's comedy circle to being seen as a complete joke by everyone. And now almost no one ever hears from this woman anymore. But if we're talking about people who fell from grace, then we need to mention Bert Kreischer. You see, Cat Williams recently blew up the internet, accusing Joe Rogan of giving a platform to six unfunny comedians.
Joe got six comedians that never been funny he wanna push out.
One of the six is Bert Kreischer, a painfully unfunny, really annoying guy who first came to public attention way back in 1997. At the age of 24, Kreischer, who was in his sixth year at Florida State, captured the attention of Rolling Stone. The magazine wrote a big piece on the larger-than-life character, describing him as the top partier in the number one party school in the country, becoming the inspiration for the 2022 movie Van Wilder, starring Ryan Reynolds. The article was pretty funny, however Kreischer seems to be anything but. You see, the first rule of comedy club is to be funny. Being a fan of performing shirtless, Kreischer desperately attempts to make up for his lack of quality material by making loud noises and distracting us with his protruding belly. But he's been called a pathological liar by many, and an insincere comedian who regularly makes up stories and has an ego the size of his gut. Worse still, he laughs at his own jokes right after he says the punchline, largely because no one else is laughing. On Reddit, numerous people ask, does anyone actually find this stuff funny? And the answer seems to be over and over again, a resounding no. Yet he keeps putting out material, and oddly, people seem to watch. But who is watching this stuff? Considering the fact that everywhere you look online, he seems to be universally disliked for his comedy, with almost all of his comedy specials being met with heavy ridicule. For example, Kreischer's 2018 special, Secret Time, was widely disregarded, largely because the jokes were lame and gross. His most recent special, Razzle Dazzle, was even worse. Instead of coming up with new material, Burr just recycles the same bits he's been doing for the past decade, bashing his poor wife, talking about his daughter's periods, and of course offering lengthy takes on his penis. And it recently emerged that during a stand-up show, he actually shat himself on stage, wiped his ass with his t-shirt, and showed it to the audience, going to the bottom of the barrel for a laugh. But somehow as Burr's popularity increased with the Joe Rogan podcast, he was able to land himself a movie. Now those familiar with his backstory probably know about his famous college trip to Russia. It's something he's often spoken about on the Joe Rogan podcast, where Kreischer claims to have spent a night of wild drunken debauchery with Russian gangsters, culminating in a train robbery. Although considering how much he's rumored to lie, this story could be completely fabricated. You see, years ago, Kreischer shared the Russia story with his mentor Joe Rogan, who encouraged him to incorporate it into his routine, and he did. And at the start, Kreischer saw enormous success with the story. It was his main thing. But eventually, he seemed to tell the same joke over and over again. And as time went by, people got tired of it. As one Redditor claimed, dude only has four bits, Russian mob, the machine, drinking, being a loud fat guy, and taking a shirt off. And it's kind of true. Last year, all four were on display in both Razzle Dazzle and The Machine, the movie that Kreischer made. But as soon as the movie came out, after all the promotion, all the podcasts, and after all the support from the Joe Rogan Comedian Group, Kreischer's big moment was a flop. The movie was a box office failure and was widely criticized. Carla Hay of Culture Mix called the movie a complete failure in every single way, asking why it was ever made in the first place, claiming, quote, the machine has no creativity, no style, and no charm. It stumbles around in repetitive scenarios and spews out deeply unfunny jokes that sound like ideas that would be rejected at low-rank comedy clubs. The Guardian claimed the movie was surprisingly unfunny, noting that the final and grimmest surprise is how the movie attempts to give Kreischer some therapeutic growth, premised on an eventual hogwash revelation about a comedian serving as a de facto protector of the people. Expecting audiences to cheer with excitement as Kreischer guzzles vodka and becomes an unstoppable fighting machine is bad enough. Hoping they'll take away some valuable life lessons about balance and being yourself seems an awful lot like denial. And it seems like Kreischer's on a downward spiral. Everyone like Joe Rogan and other comedians are claiming he has a serious alcohol problem, which shouldn't be too much of a surprise. But as he gets older, as the alcohol starts wearing on him, and all these failures add up, it seems like it's going to really lead him down a dark path. But at least he's nowhere near as bad as Brendan Schaub, a man synonymous with bad taste and bad humor. You see, Brendan Schaub was a former professional mixed martial artist, and there was a famous Joe Rogan episode where Joe basically told him he needs to completely give up fighting after having some horrendous knockdowns. And after being pressured to leave the UFC, he found himself inspired by Joe Rogan and began to start a comedy career, creating a podcast, The Fighter and the Kid, and Below the Belt with Brendan Schaub, also being the co-host of the King and the Sting podcast with Theo Von. However, Von, now one of the most loved comedians in the US, eventually cut ties with Schaub for reasons that'll become clear later on. It all started with his comedy career being widely criticized by his peers, just like his fighting career, as his first comedy special, You'd Be Surprised, released in 2019, had an abysmal average score of 1.5 out of 10 on IMDb, with some viewers even arguing that this rating is too generous after watching the special. One disgruntled viewer on IMDb said this, "It really is that bad. I asked for a terrible stand-up special in a Facebook group, and this one came up the most. I can't watch anything else recommended there because this was too draining. I wanted to see what bad stand-up looked like, and I got it. So many blatant humble brags, so many desperate shout-outs to famous people he knows, and near endless weird flexes. The jokes are lackluster all the way through. The opening is baffling bad. Schwab looks uncomfortable and nervous for much of the special, and overall, I couldn't wait for it to end. The crowd is barely laughing at many jokes by the end of it too. In fact, the entire IMDb comment section is littered with reviews that echo this person's sentiments. Same with Reddit and everywhere you look. It was brutal. Even his mentor Joe Rogan, the man who got him into comedy in the first place and humbled him about his UFC career, ridiculed the special.
Because Charlie Murphy was doing headline sets like right after he got into comedy.
Also with you.
Well, he did those
like 2 years later though, but still.
That was a couple years in.
Still.
But still.
Beastie.
Bold. Very bold.
Do you think about having what time special when you're 2 years into?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, very bold. It's
big balls, dude.
At least Charlie didn't film it.
Yeah. True.
But things couldn't get worse, right? Well, his most recent special, The Gringo Pappy, released in 2022, and received even worse reviews than you'd be surprised. On IMDb, most people gave it a 1 out of 10, with one reviewer accurately stating, Schwab's previous special set the expectations at a historic low, and yet somehow this new special failed to meet even the generous threshold. Another said, painfully unfunny, cringy, poor production, annoying laugh track. I could do better, and I don't find myself funny at all. But it's not just this. Very few comedians claim to have angered as many people as Schwab, not just because he's unfunny, but because he is rumored to be a particularly bad person. In fact, if you look at this Reddit thread, there are thousands of people pointing out this fact, and many of these comments are coming from previously devout fans. On his own subreddit, a community initially formed by listeners of Schwab's The Fighter and the Kid podcast, there are now a staggering 153,000 members who refer to themselves as homeless cats, where virtually every single post about the comedian is unflattering. The shift in fan sentiment can be attributed to Schwab's apparent insecurity, leading him to lash out at anyone who threatens his fragile ego. The ex-fans highlight the fact that Schwab lacks humility and self-awareness on a repeated basis. Moreover, he seems utterly incapable of offering genuine praise without following it up with a negative comment, always striving to maintain a sense of superiority. This was evident in an episode of Below the Belt released in October 2021, where Schwab expressed admiration for Tyson Fury, a British boxer who openly discussed his struggles with depression and life-ending thoughts. However, Schwab quickly undermined his own sentiment by stating that he would, quote, open up his wrists if he had to hear more about Fury's mental health issues. Now, afterwards, the YouTube clip was removed from the entire internet, but aside from the unnecessary cruelty here, it just seems so petty and unneeded, further isolating him from the fighting community, and soon comedians themselves. Credible reports claimed that Schwab has threatened legal action against fellow comedians who make jokes at his expense. Furthermore, he made significant efforts to censor a documentary titled I'm Not Surprised, the Brennan Schwab documentary, which shed an unflattering light on him. In fact, during an H3H3 podcast, Bobby Lee shared his experience of being mercilessly bullied by Schwab and his lower sidekick, Brian Callen.
I was being, screamed at and bullied.
It was like a get in line phone.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was worse than that. It was way worse than that. And my point is that
I'm sorry, that's
now my fear is the results of whatever this is now going
to
be.
Schwab later admitted to doing this when he appeared on Tiger Belly, a podcast hosted by Lee and his former girlfriend. But this wasn't just a one-off incident. He also targeted MMA commentator Ariel Helwani with his bullying tactics. Not to mention all the YouTubers he censored and taken down their videos for because he doesn't like what they're saying. In fact, even this video poses a risk of being completely striked by Brendan Schwab himself. But it gets even worse. In 2021, Schwab's girlfriend at the time revealed some distressing news on Instagram. She had just had a miscarriage and was in need of support. However, on that very day, while she was lying in a hospital bed, Schwab thought it would be appropriate to share a photograph of himself in a hot tub with his friends. There's so much more to this story as well, so many controversies surrounding him, but eventually he alienated not only the fighting community, the comedy community, but also his own fan base. Everyone is against him, and that's why he was recently forced to announce that he intended to quit comedy, which is probably a good idea, considering he regularly has to cancel shows because of poor ticket sales. But speaking of other people who should maybe consider retiring, is Chris D'Elia. Like the aforementioned Schumer, there was a time when Chris was a hugely popular comic, even appearing in music videos with hip-hop heavyweights like Logic and Eminem. Those days, however, are long gone. Videos on his YouTube channel, Supergood, used to get hundreds of thousands of views. Today, though, they barely get a fraction of the eyeballs they used to. So where did it all go wrong for Chris? Well, things started to go downhill in 2021, when USA Today reported that he stood accused of sexually exploiting and soliciting pornography from a teenage girl. According to the federal complaint, which was filed in California, Chris, quote, solicited and received scores of sexually explicit photos and videos when she was 17 and he was 34. According to USA Today, Chris asked her if she was in high school. When she said she was, Chris said that was hot, and the two had sex before and after a show of his. And over the course of 6 to 7 months, Chris continued to demand at least 100 explicit photos and videos from the teenager, and as the USA piece noted, quote, used manipulation and degradation to get her to comply. According to the victim, quote, Chris abused his status and fame to lure me in, take advantage and manipulate me when I was at a vulnerable age. I want any other girls out there to know that they are not alone, and it is time to get justice for the mental and physical toll he has put us through. Notice the last few words. The woman was insinuating that there were other victims involved, and she was right. There was a whole can of worms. In 2023, Rolling Stone published a bombshell piece highlighting that 10 women accused him of predatory behavior. Some of those accusing Chris were young, very young. Four of them were just teenagers when Chris, who appears to have a thing for young girls, approached them. A number of women accused Chris of exploiting his status to fulfill his own desires. One woman even claimed that Chris offered her tickets to a show in exchange for a sexual favor, with another fan alleging that Chris coerced her into performing oral sex on him before one of his performances. And according to Rolling Stone, when she began to cry, cry, Chris told her, "If you just do everything I say, it'll all be okay." Chris even once said that as soon as he started doing stand-up, everything fell into place. Everything, it seems, including the young woman he preyed on. The Rolling Stone article painted the comedian as a cruel manipulator, with some of these women given daily instructions to perform certain duties and separate themselves from their loved ones. Like a creepy cult leader, Chris repeatedly demanded immediate and explicit photos and videos from the women he was exchanging sex with, and if they failed to comply, he would either scold or disregard them as a means of punishment, or even expose them. So to me, his demands, the women assert that they had to constantly be attached to their phones, quickly finding public restrooms or even pulling over on the roadside to fulfill his requests. One of the common instructions, according to Wolf, was to kneel down and declare herself as nothing. Even more creepily, Chris referred to the woman he was communicating with as his girls. Chris recently made a rather desperate attempt to clear his name in a widely watched interview with Soft White Underbelly. The opinions in the comments section are both hilarious and extremely negative, with one viewer saying that Chris would be the first dude to get cancelled twice. Others said the interview felt like a parody. The best, though, was this "you can interview serial killers, drug traffickers, and thieves, but I draw the line at Chris." Once a big star selling out arenas across the country and appearing on these huge Netflix shows, then faded into obscurity almost instantly. And now that everyone in the comedian world has shunned him to the side, it seems like he'll stay that way for a long time. Which leaves us with one of the most recently hated people in the comedy space. And whilst this will be controversial, Andrew Schultz seems to be in the thick of it at the moment. Now, Andrew Schultz isn't anywhere near as bad as these other people at all, and his stand-up is genuinely funny. He's had huge popularity online, and does seem like a genuinely interesting guy, but in the online world, he's becoming one of the most attested comics around. People online are claiming that it's unbearable to listen to Schultz anymore. On Reddit, previous fans of the show spoke candidly about Schultz, and the demise of their great broadcast, with many comments saying it's so bad that they have no option but to unsubscribe from the YouTube channel. With the main reasons being that over the last year, there's just way too many fake laughs that constantly cut off guests mid-sentence, with an obnoxious, rude, and insufferable attitude that makes the content unbearable to listen to. But as Andrew Schultz has become a huge phenomenon, having huge comedy tours all around the world, it's been reported that his sense of self-worth has become unbearable to many, with Shane Gillis, one of the most respected comedians in the world right now, actually calling Schultz out to his face, accusing him of always acting like he is sharing profound knowledge, when really he's just saying something that most people already know. Even Chappelle has been quite dismissive of Schultz's whole shtick. But worst of all, it's been reported that Schultz can be quite a bully. Last year, he had Whitney Cummings on the podcast, where he repeatedly attacked her appearance, making fun of her face and her facial gestures, crossing the line by proceeding to humiliate her in front of her friends, bringing her actually close to tears. It wasn't funny or a roast, it just seemed cruel. Schultz then tried to do the same thing to Gillis, but he had none of it. Instead, he shot right back, calling out Schultz for being a douchebag.
For you guys to sit here and be like,
wait a minute,
let's bring it up and mock them. That's fucked up, dude.